To the Gospel of John, John's Gospel, chapter number 20, and I'm going to just, we know the text, we know this is the resurrection. I'm going to use this scene of the resurrection here in this text as an application, I guess you could say, or try to make an example of the disciples and Mary. And if you know this story, she went and got them, they came. But the Bible says that in verse number 10, then the disciples went away again unto their own home. And I want to use that verse. I'm going to read a little more here in a minute, but I want to use that verse and talk about this, going home too early or giving up too soon. Going home too early, or I like the title best, giving up too soon. And now let's look at verse number 8. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And she saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord. I like how she made that personal. And I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, may the Lord add his blessings. And in no way do I want to add to the scriptures here. But yet, I'm wondering. Now, you say, well, everything went as God wanted to go. And I surely wouldn't argue with that. But I thought about these disciples. Had they had stayed a little longer. Had they stayed, just for thought's sake. Had they stayed a little longer, look what they would have experienced. Now, again, in the text, now I understand that Christ had been crucified. The gospel had been completed. Christ died for our sins on the cross, and he was buried in this barred tomb, and in 3 days he arose bodily. So we know that it's a time, and I don't want maybe confusion, because Mary was a little bit confused. It was a time where they were under fear and stress and uncertainty. We would all agree that we're living in those days. We had a transition in authority of our country. And of course, during this time, it'll be up and down. There'll be controversy. There'll be lies. There'll be all kind of things twirling around. And of course, Satan will try to use those things to bring division in the church. Let's don't let that happen, church. Amen. Amen. Let's don't let that happen, because we're here to worship the Lord. Amen. We're here to worship the Lord, and we're not ignorant of his devices. Now, I'm not saying dodge sin in anything or anybody, but yet, at the same time, we know in whom we have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We are experiencing, again, we have times, and we are in the last days. I believe we're in the last of the last days. And we're seeing a lot of fear-mongering, trying to dictate us with fear. Stress of life, uncertainties. We don't know what's going to happen the next day. But in this scene, I see a congregation. We have Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John. You said, that's not a congregation. Well, the Bible said, if two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. Amen. I think that's a pretty good congregation. And they are assembled at the tomb. Here is a congregation tonight, and we are assembled at church. Even though they were upset, they were scared, they were confused, and going through the hardest things they ever faced, they still made great effort. Notice their effort. In uncertain times, in fearful times, in stressful times, notice verse number 2, they ran to the tomb. They ran to the place they were going to assemble. Verse 5, they humbled themselves. He said, stooping down. Verse 11, stooped down and wept. No time for pride. And verse 6, they were looking for Jesus. They were concerned about being where they should be and wanting to hear and see the Lord. Folks, you and I, even though times are bad, times are hard, times are tough, times are awful, we need to still make great effort. It's not a time to quit church. It's not time to cut services off. The Bible says, was it Hebrews 10:25, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as we see the day approaching. And I see the day approaching, don't you? So we have it backward now. Many churches are going to one service a week. I'm hard to handle now with three. We need more, not less. But in stressful days, in these uncertain days, we get in our mind. And I feel like this sometimes. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes we want to just pull the cover over our head and go to bed. Cut the box fan on, cut the lights off, and throw the cover over our head and just forget about it. Try to forget about it and detach. But it's not time to put other things. It's not time to allow the fear, and the fear brings a snare, and the fear of man brings a snare, and we know God don't give that spirit. And if we overcome to that, if we succumb to all these things and allow life itself to get in the way of our dedication and our devotion, we'll be in big trouble. God's people are fighting battles, hard battles, troubles and trials on every hand. Get to church. Get to church. It's day, but it's still, it may be darker in our lives. You make great effort. You may be humble. Hey, you're feeling everything but positive, but yet still make a difference in your own life and make your way to the things of God. Now, there was three in this congregation. Two went to the house early. 2/3 of that congregation said, I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm going home, I'm leaving, and I'm just getting away. They looked around. Jesus isn't here. The tomb's empty. Somebody, we don't know what's happened to him. He's gone. He's forsaken us. We're just going to go home. Peter, even in chapter number 21, he said, I go a fishing. That's a picture of Peter saying, you know what? It's not worth this. I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back. He said, I go fishing. And the other said, we'll go with you. You know what, Peter? If you're going to backslide, we all going to backslide. He went back to that same place. He went back. Hey, matter of fact, the same body of water that Jesus, when Jesus found them and brought them away from that, said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. He said, I'm going back to my old life. I'm glad the Lord was merciful. They fished all night and said, hey, you got any meat? Peter said, no. And they finally saw that it was him. When they saw it was him, they began to get their act together. The Lord said, he was about 100 yards away, and they couldn't hardly make out who he was. Then finally they said, it's Jesus. And Peter began to put clothes on. The Bible said he's naked. In other words, he started not only trying to go back to where he was, but living like he used to live. That discouragement, that fear of when he went to the tomb and Christ was not there, he's all to pieces, he's upset, he's mad. Even when Christ showed himself here in chapter 20, give him instruction, he still didn't like it. He was used to that presence, that feeling all the time. Folks, if you chase a feeling, you'll never be faithful to church. Let me say that again. I'm not sure if it's original, but if all you're going to do is chase a feeling, I'm glad God gave me something I could feel too. Amen. But if you jump around from one thing to the next looking for that feeling, you're going to be an unstable Christian. God wants you to exercise faith more than he wants you to experience a feeling. Let me say that again. The Lord wants you to exercise faith more than he wants you to experience a feeling. Right. I said the Lord wants you to exercise faith more than he wants you to experience a feeling. Right. And I'm for feeling. I like it when the Spirit of God manifests his presence. I'm thankful for it. But there are days when he's there, but you can't feel him. What do you do? By faith, you accept his word that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you always, even to the end. I've told you this story before. Some of you may not have heard it. And even in my notes, the Lord just brought it to my heart and mind. It's a story about a man. His wife passed away, and they had a young son. And you know how it is when someone passes away, you have a lot of company and a lot of people are around. But the day comes when people have to go back home. They have to go back to work. They have to go back to their job. Well, it was just the dad and son at home, and he put his son to bed and hugged him and kissed him and prayed with him. And he went to his room and got in the bed. And he said, it was just a few minutes later, the little boy got out of bed and went to his daddy's room and said, Daddy, can I sleep with you tonight? I'm fearful. He says, yes, son, come on, get up here. He said, we're laying there in the darkness. The little boy said, Daddy. He goes, yes, son. He said, can I ask you something? He said, sure, son. He said, what do you want? He said, are you looking at me? He said, yes, son, I'm looking at you. Why? He said, it's awful dark in here. But as long as I know you're looking at me, I'm all right. See, we have that assurance with our Heavenly Father. Life gets dark. Battles get hard. Trouble comes by the waves. But he's always looking at us. Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side. And in the midst of the sea, the storm came. And they're fighting at night that storm, trying to do the will of God, trying to stay focused and move forward. And they thought Jesus was gone, but he was on top of that hill, that mountain, and watching everything they were doing. And when the time was right, he walked out there to them. What was over their head was under his feet. Folks, you realize, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't go back to the house. Stay put. Stay focused. Stay moving forward. Because just when you think it's hopeless, here comes Jesus. Amen. And everything that's over your head tonight is under his feet. Is anything too hard for God? Amen. No. Let's notice three things tonight and I'm finished. May go home early. What you can miss if you go home early. What you can miss if you give up too soon. Three things. Number one, look at verse 12. A heavenly visit. Let me read verse 11. And Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping as she wept and stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Folks, you understand? You understand it? Peter and John, they ain't been gone long. Just left. And she stooped back down. And heaven came down, literally in the midst of her trouble. Heaven came down in the midst of their trouble. Folks, the Lord does not tell us, as a matter of fact, it's a sin to worship angels. Amen. We worship God. Amen. But we do not discount or deny, because the Bible's clear that there's a ministry of angels. Right. Us that fear God, the Bible says the angels encampeth around about us. Bible says, and I'm paraphrasing, you better entertain strangers. You better be good to people, because you may be entertaining an angel unaware. They're created beings that God created to fulfill a work. And through the scriptures, we see all through the scriptures where the Lord used them to aid man in difficult times. That's a fact. God sent them to aid man, his people, in difficult times. He did. We could go through different things in the scriptures. I could, if I had time, start at Genesis, go through, and we could see many places. And folks, get this. God sent something special down to encourage Mary. He sent his angels down. Hey, Peter and John missed out on a heavenly visit. They missed out on, ain't nothing else going to go on here. It's dead here. God's done here. This situation's dark. His situation's destitute. Man, what a depressing scene this is. We just go on home, pull the covers over our head. But Mary said, I'm staying here. I got to stay here. And she stooped down. And got a heavenly vision. No, she didn't understand it all at that moment. But at least she was there to experience it. Hey, folks, you don't ever know how and when the Lord's going to move. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Are you listening? Be where you're supposed to be. You say, preacher, we're here. Preach this Sunday. Might do it. If they hadn't given up too soon, they missed out on a heavenly visit. Look at verse 15 and the first part of verse 16. Let me give you these things. I'm gone. They missed out on a heavenly visit, then they missed out on a heavenly voice. Look at verse number 15. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. What a voice. Out of nowhere, because she didn't give up, she got a word from the Lord himself. Out of nowhere. Now I understand, folks, I understand that Christ is there personally, bodily, and he's speaking to her. Now I'm not telling you Jesus is going to come down bodily, but he's left us his word. And he's left us messengers, preachers. And if you give up too soon, you're going to miss out on hearing his voice. Peter and John heard it later, but they didn't hear it then. They was at home. They was at the house. They was at the house with the covers pulled over their head, thinking about going fishing. And it was a personal word. He said, he didn't say, hey, you, or hey, y'all. He said, Mary. Mary. If you give up too soon, you're going to miss out on your name being called by the Lord. You're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. You ain't going to hear the heavenly voice. You give up too soon and bring division between you and Christ. They missed out on a heavenly visit. They missed out on a heavenly voice. But look at the latter part of verse 16 through 18. They missed out on heavenly victory. Look at the latter part of verse number 16. In an instant, listen to this. In an instant, her tears were turned to triumph. Look at the latter part of verse number 16. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Verse number 17, she was closer to Jesus than she'd ever been in her life. In verse number 17, and Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. What's happening? What's happening? When she said Master, she began to throng him, began to grab him. Tears is now triumph. And the Lord said, Hey, don't cling on me. I've not yet ascended to the Father. He was going to offer that blood on the mercy seat. Once for all. Can you imagine? It's dark. It's depressing. It's discouraging. It's awful. And because she denied to leave, she said, I'm staying where I'm supposed to stay. She got a heavenly visit, heard a heavenly voice, and she got heavenly victory. Hey, folks, preacher, I'm so defeated. I understand. I mean, as far as our place in Christ, we live in from victory. We got the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about practically. Positionally, we have victory. Practically, we can get defeated. Practically, we can get defeated. Folks, can I say something to you tonight? You'll stay defeated if you're not where you're supposed to be. You'll stay defeated if you're not where you're supposed to be. Stay where you're supposed to stay. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. Stay where you are supposed to stay. But notice verse number 18. So verse 16, in an instant, her tears turned into triumph. Verse number 17, she was closer to Jesus than she'd ever been in her life. Verse 18, she's publishing and proclaiming the name of Christ. Look at verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, here's two big shot preachers having to find out what Jesus said from a woman that God brought up also out of a horrible pit. She had more faith. She had more determination. She had more love for Christ than they had. Amen. Our titles don't make us spiritual.
Right.
Amen. Let me say that again. Our titles, preachers, look at me. Our titles don't make us spiritual.
Amen.
Walking with God makes us spiritual. Living by faith in the storm when it's dark, that builds spirituality. By the grace of God, living by faith, stay in the course. Well, preacher, how do you really know? You're judging. How do you really know that she loved the Lord more than they did? Well, chapter 21, Jesus asked Peter three times, do you love me? Let's straighten this out. You don't love me right. Hey, let's get this right. He dealt with him about his love for him. He never had to deal with Mary about it. She proved it.
Amen.
She proved her love for the Lord. Now she's publishing and she's proclaiming the name of Christ to men that should have been proclaiming it to her.
Amen.
Be careful who you look down on, church. They might love the Lord a lot more than you do. They just don't have the title. Everybody all right? Everybody listening? I've said this many times. I've heard other preachers say it, and I believe it's to be truth. At the judgment seat of Christ, when the Lord's giving out crowns, it'll be people that you thought was very insignificant in church that'll be at the front of the line getting the most crowns. They weren't preachers. They weren't Sunday school teachers. But they were faithful. And through the darkest day, they weren't fickle. Folks, it ain't time to be fickle in this thing. Folks, you can't wait till the temperatures and everything's just right and everything before I'm really dedicated. If you wait till then, you'll be fickle. You'll be in and out, up and down. Hey, know where God wants you. Know what God wants you to do and do it. Even if somebody criticizes you. Even if somebody ostracizes you. Even if somebody don't smile at you. Still be faithful. Don't be fickle. We got too much fickleness in the churches today. Too much, too much, too much. I look around here and I see husbands and wives that are in their 80s and they braved the weather tonight and come to church. Am I so naive to think that everybody that's not here tonight is sick? I hope you don't think I am. But I hope you're not that naive. I love them. But for the grace of God, I know all that. But hey, too much fickleness in these days. Peter and John was fickle at this moment. They showed up, but the service didn't hit just right. They didn't get the help they thought they needed. We didn't feel anything. Didn't see anything. God's not in this. Let's go home. Let's go to another tomb and congregate. Hello. Mary said, I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm going to stay right here. I know the Lord's been here. I'm going to trust that He'll be back. And He come back. But 2/3 of the congregation was at the house. Folks, don't go home too early. Don't give up too soon. Don't throw in the towel. You know where God wants you. He wants you here. He wants you serving Him. And days are going to be dark. My family's walking in a dark trial right now. I need the Lord. I need this church. I need you more than I've ever needed you. Our family does. By the grace of God, by the grace of God, I don't want to go home too early. Hey, folks, hang in there a little longer. And when you've hung in there a little longer, hang in there a little longer. Preacher, this trial is never going to end. I preached on Job the day at the nursing home. Over in chapter 7, where he's basically saying, Lord, would you just go ahead and let me die? Lord, give Job grace to keep going a little longer. Keep going a little longer. And that trial come to an end. When my mother was dying with cancer, I told this before too. Come on, Miss Courtney. When my mother was dying with cancer, I've not seen this preacher in years. I don't even know if he's still living or not. He was pastoring the church I was raised in and saved in and called to preach in. And he came to visit my mother. Ralph Belcher was his name. If anybody knows him, raise your hand. Anybody? He's from around Arden up there. But anyway, he was a very meek and humble man and a precious preacher. I just hate I didn't get to know him more. The Lord moved him. And my mother was laying there in the bed, and it was a bad day, and we was just sitting there in gloom. Misery. Hurting. And he said, I had a black preacher come to me one time. He said, you know what my favorite verse in the Bible is? And he said, what? He said, and it came to pass. And that kind of struck me. He said it's done him the same way. And then that man, the preacher explained it to him. He says, what you're going through didn't come to stay. It come to pass. And this too shall pass. Don't quit. Don't quit. It'll come to pass. It'll come to pass. Hang in there. Let's all stand. The court's praying.